Shall we turn our Bibles over to Matthew chapter 8? Matthew chapter 8. We're picking up this subject quite thoroughly because a few have asked to have the whole set of tapes, and so we're going to try and pick them up as thoroughly as we can. Tonight, as far as I know, will be the last message on the subject of healing, divine healing, and pertains to the Christian's body. In other words, some of the so-called healers even believe that the body, the healing of the body, is in the atonement. Now, I think this is one of the foundation arguments they have. It's a very subtle one. At the same time, if you destroy this foundation, you destroy the whole theory of bodily healing. That is, they claim that healing of the body is in the atonement, just like healing of the soul. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. There's not one verse in the whole New Testament that indicates that healing of the body is associated with the gospel. I don't know of one. And yet there are those today who will try and say that the body is in the atonement, and that all you have to do is have enough faith and your soul, your body will be healed just like your soul gets healed when you accept Christ as your Savior. To claim that healing of the body is as much to be received by faith as the salvation of the soul is actually to charge God with unfaithfulness. And that's a very solemn thing. In other words, is it not true that when a believer, a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, that very minute, all his or her sins are put away, every one. That person is born again. Yes, that's true. Very true. The Bible declares that. Well, if healing of the body is also in the atonement, wrought by Christ upon the cross, then wouldn't the body be healed at the same moment? Would the body not be healed the moment the person accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior and also as the healer of his body? It would be instantaneous. But that's not the case. Healing of the body is certainly not found in the atonement. At least I haven't been able to find it, and I know a lot of better students than I am haven't found it. Since it does not, this would imply that God is not true to his word. He forgives sin the very moment a person accepts his son. But he doesn't heal the body. He just doesn't. He differentiates between the two. I want you to notice this text in Matthew 8. And this is their favorite text, Matthew 8 and verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. Now notice it, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This is his life, not the cross. In his life, the Lord Jesus Christ did bear people's sicknesses and infirmities. Many an unsafe person had his body healed, there's no doubt about that. He healed all kinds of people. And so Isaiah speaks of him healing people's bodies, and it's in his life. It was fulfilled that very day, even before he went to the cross. And so this is the argument a lot of these people use who try to say that bodily healing is in the atonement, and it certainly is not. And some of their favorite texts is the one over in 1 Peter 2 and 24. And it's the one that's a reference to Isaiah 53 and 5. It tells you over there in that text, Peter, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, here you find them bearing our sins, and where did he bear them? In his body on the tree. Over in Matthew 8, he bore their iniquity, they bore their sicknesses in his life. In other words, he was sympathetic with them in his life. Many a time did he not relieve the hungry. He did lots of things during his life, not involving the sins of the soul, but for the body. And this is their argument they use over here in Matthew chapter 8. And it's a very subtle argument, but it's very plain that the Lord Jesus, he did sympathize with them in their physical infirmities in his life, but when it came to the cross, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And this is where we get saved. And by his stripes, the stripes that fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, I am healed spiritually. He's not talking about physical healing here, not a moment. He's talking about spiritual healing. For instance, listen to these verses that David speaks of in Psalm 41:4. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Psalm 147:3, he healeth the broken in heart, bindeth up their wounds. So you see the difference. In the past tense, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Where did he bear my sins? When he was on the cross. That's when he suffered for my sins. And that's a past tense. That's an act that he performed in our very heart when we took him as our Savior. Something took place. Our souls were healed. But our bodies weren't. Our bodies were still sinful. We still have our aches and pains, and tell anybody that the healing of the bodies in the atonement is an absolute contradiction. I've never known anybody whose bodies got healed the same moment his soul got healed. I know they get quite a lift. Psychologically. When they get saved, it seems to give them a lift. They've got a new life in Christ. But healing of the body is not in the atonement. I think that's very plain. And so that text, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement with a view to our having peace. He's talking about peace for the soul. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now Peter makes it plain he's talking about the salvation of the soul. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? In chapter 8 of Acts, he was reading this very portion when Philip joined himself to the church. And he asked him if he understood what he was reading. He said, how can I except some man should show me or explain to me or help me? And Philip got up into the church and he began at the very same scripture in Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus. And what happened to that man? They came to water, to the water. Philip said, now, do you want to be baptized? When he brought it up, he said, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest, with all thine heart thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. The chariot was halted, and he got down, and Philip baptized. And he went on his way rejoicing. Nothing is said about the man's body, the eunuch's body. His soul was saved. And Philip used the very passage in Isaiah that they, healers used to refer to the body. It refers to the soul, not the body. And here are some other things I believe it does well to remember. The body, the Bible, rather, teaches that the Christian will be in a sickly condition, in a groaning state, until the redemption of the body. Why they go about emphasizing the healing of the body? Because it's a big gong pop. They'll come from all over the country and Hearst and everything else to get their body healed, but they won't walk across the street to hear the gospel for their soul salvation. It's a big gong pop. And yet the Bible makes it very plain that the Christian is in a sickly condition as far as his body is concerned, in a groaning creation. Here's some text for you. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 20. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves, we Christians, we also. Why, we groan within ourselves. And we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. That is, to wit, the redemption of the body. I'm not waiting for the healer to come along. I'm waiting for the healer, the Lord Jesus Christ, not a man. And only then will we have the redemption, all pain gone from our body. In this case, you have the redemption of the body instantaneous, like the salvation of the soul is now. When I accept Christ, that very moment, my faith is saving faith, my soul is saved. But I still have my body. But when the Lord comes, it too will be instantaneously changed into his likeness. That will be the end of our sinful, ailing body. And not the less. The other text of scripture I want you to notice. Over in 2 Corinthians 5. For we know. This morning we're speaking about things we know. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, now you can get around some other way, but this earthly house of our tabernacle, our body, is dissolving. It's not getting better. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For in this we grow, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that will we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Another text in Philippians 3:21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, or the body of our humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And the last one in 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this corruptible, what's he talking about, our body? For this corruptible was put on incorruption, and this mortal, our bodies are mortal, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Here you have text in the other, showing our bodies are corrupted. The bodies of our humiliation. He even used the word vile body. And your body, I don't know, don't care how beautiful it is before you die, but a few days after you die, you don't want to see it. Like Jesus said, bury my dead out of my sight. And that was a loved one. A corpse. And our bodies are in this sickly, dying, decaying condition. And you can't stop. And yet we have these who come along and say the healing is in the atonement. I haven't seen anybody yet get healed of a real disease. Just because they accept Christ as their Savior and believe that the healing of the body is also in saved by grace and having your sins put away is one thing. That pertains to the soul. But when Christ comes, then we'll get our new bodies, and not till then, because we're living in a groaning creation, and we're also in a state of corruption, constant corruption, day after day, day after day. We're declining, we're decaying. A lot of other scriptures do. And relative to this divine healing, very significant because of the sensationalism of healing and miracles. To me, that's a mark of the last days. It certainly should be a bright mark to the Christian. The coming of the Lord, I'll soon have my new body. As we see all this going on around in this, supposed to be supernatural healing and carrying on, men performing miracles, this is an indication of the last days when the great deceiver will come, the false prophet, the running mate of the coming beast. When I stop to think of what kind of bodies we have then, it just thrills the heart to know that we're going to have a body like unto his own glorious body. Day after day, when you visit sick folks, how you anticipate that day. A body without sin, without groaning. Just a body like his. And we're not going to get a new body till then. We do all we can to try and hang on to the one we've got, but nevertheless, it's decaying all the time. We think of this healing business. In the Bible, all these cases were immediate, not gradual. I've heard people talk about they got healed, and when they're supposed to get healed, the healer told them to watch their diet, and you may have to use a crutch or a wheelchair. In other words, this is just going to be a gradual process. Not so in the Bible. Whenever the Lord Jesus or the apostle or the disciple healed a person, they were healed immediately. It was done to demonstrate the fact that the gospel was of God, and they were the servants of God. This is a little amusing, and yet it's very sad, because I was in on this. Fred Luther was one of the most godly men I ever knew. I came south of him. He claimed his wife Gladys was more godly than he was. I question that. Fred took sick when he was about 65. I went up to Canada, and I saw him. In fact, I flew up from here for his funeral a little while after. When I took one look at Fred, I could have turned aside and wept. Yet they clung, they clung, they clung. They got a healer to come. And the healer came, and he anointed Fred with oil, and had prayer. And about 8 hours later, Fred died. Well, he had cancer, but he died really with a heart attack. And Gladys's wife said this. She said it to Peter Pell, Bill Pell. She says, wasn't it wonderful that the Lord should have healed Cedric before he died? Well, now, which was it? He died with a heart attack, the doctor said. Then the Lord healed him of cancer 8 hours before he died. Does that make sense? It does. But she was so convinced that the Lord had healed her husband. That was her exact expression. Sad to say, Gladys has been in an institution just about ever since. Poor girl. People get so carried away with it. And yet the Bible's very plain on these matters. As to the soul, it's immediate. And as to the body, when the Lord comes, the redemption of the body will not be gradual. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, then we'll be changed. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now as to what I want to close with these meetings with is the Christian body. No promise in the New Testament that God will bless us with all physical blessings. I can't find that. When I came south with Fred, we were in Asheville, the very first meeting I went to.
in a tent meeting. Fred said, I want to come over and see how they preach down here in the mountains. We went there. That was a healing meeting. And this, the lady, the preacher's wife, she spoke from Isaiah 53:5. If they strike, you're healed. And she labored away for half an hour about the healing of her body. She looked right then, though she is a doctor bad. And after she got through that, her husband got up and preached. And the girl about 8 or 9, right across the aisle from us, two smaller sisters, looking at each other, laughing. The oldest one was chewing gum. And he gave the altar call, and she went down laughing all the way. And the friend, I didn't see any conviction of sin in that girl. And I didn't feel any of the presence of God in the whole meeting. And yet here they were demonstrating or trying to that the power of God trains, goes, and heals bodies. Because they've long since passed off the scene. But I don't find in my Bible where God has promised us as Christians any physical blessings at all. But I do find this in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in God. We have spiritual blessings. And there are many. And in the measure we're taken up with these spiritual blessings, the happier we're going to be. And we've already mentioned in Romans 8:22-23 about this groaning and prevailing pain until now. A groaning creation. When are we going to enter into the fact that as for these bodies, now I know they're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that thrills me. But I've got a frame with some flesh and bones on it. Like Job says, thou hast fenced me in with skin and flesh, and also clothed me with bones and sinews. He's speaking of himself, the ego. His personality, inside a packet of bones and sinews, flesh and bones. All this is just the outward man. And you have a remarkable text here. Though the outward man perishes, the inward man renewed day by day. And you can't stop that process of perishing. Though the outward man perishes, the body's perishing. The undertakers are doing a great business. What's the flu shot for? Swine flu. To try and stop the process of dying in human bodies. But the human body, you get out of one sickness, you're into another. Because the Bible says, though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. This is the secret of life. Although we've got to give up these bodies, what depends too on how we take care of it. But the inward man. All the time the inward man is renewed. You get up every morning and spiritually you're happy. You're joyful. That's it. The outward man is perishing. The inward man is renewed day by day. And we won't worry so much about the outward man perishing if the inner man is renewed day by day. We can get very melancholy if we're not in a good spiritual state of soul. If the soul is happy. In fact, you have a case here in 3 John. Here's the Apostle John. He's writing to the elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius. He speaks elsewhere, Gaius mine hope. My, didn't Gaius have a privilege to entertain the Apostle? And Paul speaks of Gaius mine hope. But this is what he said. Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Here's a man who had a healthy soul, but a sick body. And Paul craved for him to have better health. Oh, he said, I wish your body was as healthy as your soul. Well, Paul, Dr. Paul, why didn't you heal him? You're the great apostle. Paul said, what are you talking about? I have to have a doctor traveling me all the time, Dr. Luke. In other words, Luke wasn't just going along for conversation. I don't doubt what Dr. Luke had his little bag, whatever pills they used back in those days, I don't know, but I believe he had his little bag going along to try and keep the apostle going, that he might lengthen his life for the gospel. All these are very plain. They're in your Bible. Now, I'm not telling you something that's not in the scriptures. It's right here. Paul had his affliction. You find this over in Acts or Galatians 4. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh, ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Yes, the Apostle Paul had his infirmity in the flesh. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon thee. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. And his remarkable text he uses, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings oft, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. This is the apostle going through all these physical difficulties. Sick boss, contacting sick companions. And there's no healing done right here. And here you have the epistle. And God is teaching us. There's a lesson for us to learn. Because this is one of God's greatest institutions for teaching his children. That ward in the hospital called the Christian ward, where Christians are. And they're sick. And lots of them are sick. Why does God permit this? He has a purpose, and he tells you this. And this is the last text I think I'll read you, over in Romans, or Hebrews rather, chapter 12 and verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as his son. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, that is his children, then are ye bastards and not sons. You are not proper children after all. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Yes, and a hard look now and again, too. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Subjection. Not my will, but thine be done. That's the greatest expression of subjection. A man who did no sin, yet he was subject to his Father's will and suffered like no one else suffered in the body. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with this. The only man had a right to be healthy. He came sick. Yes, he did. Our sins were laid upon him. Our sins were put upon him. The only man who had a right to live. He died that we who had no right to live might live. He died for us. Then he suffered for us upon the cross. And in verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Can you imagine an earthly father stripping his child out of his own pleasure? Strange. I don't know of a father who would take pleasure in ripping his child. Well, God got a measure of delight out of what he did to the son. It pleased Jehovah, the bosom. He had a purpose. It was the purpose he had in mind that he took any pleasure in laying our sins upon him, that the Lord Jesus might see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. When he sees all those sick bodies and sick souls in heaven, all like himself forever, that'll be the great harvest of his death and his suffering on that cross for you, for me. Now, no chastening for the present. Thank God it's only for the present. He for our profit, I want you to notice that in verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened for our profit, chastened us with after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. There's the object God has in mind for Christians getting sick, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Are we profiting from this lesson in school? David says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Before I was afflicted, I was a wandering sheep. Now he said, I've returned. I've learned my lesson. Now I'm in fellowship with the Lord. That sickness was well worth. Now that's what the Bible says. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Here's the whole thing about Christian sickness being exercised. I know you remember a number of years ago, Billy Graham, in one of his early days, he and his party were going over to England, I think, for their first big revival, which turned out to be a remarkable one. And he got sick on board ship, and they had to call off the big campaign. Do you remember that? And Billy Graham felt he was in the mind of God. Why should this happen? All these plans be upset. Billy Graham needed a rest. And when he got there, he had one of his most fruitful campaigns. God has purpose. We don't understand. But this is the thing to keep in mind. The peaceable fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised. The exercise of us. In this passage in Hebrews, there are three things you can do about being chastened by the Lord or affliction of your body. In other words, it tells you very plain, three reactions. You can despise it or take a don't care attitude, or you can faint under it, or you can be exercised about it and profit from it. I think someone has lined it up this way. You have all these illustrated in a duck, in a chicken, and in a bird. The duck, out in the rainstorm, sheds it. In other words, the what? Some Christians are just like that. They brush it aside. Despise it. I'm not worried about that. The rainstorm means nothing to a duck. But let the chicken get out in the rainstorm. If ever you saw a woebegone character, look at a chicken. It's under depression. It doesn't like the atmosphere. It looks at you with one eye and must say, why'd all this come on me? But then you find the little bird, and you hear it singing. You can't say, don't know where it is, but you hear the little robin sing. And he's tucked up under some high place out of the rain, hidden. There he is, he's singing during the storm. There's the tree. Are you going to despise it? Are you going to faint on it? Are you going to be like the duck? Or are you going to be like the chicken? Moping around there, the world coming to an end. Or are you going to be like the bird in the midst of the storm, find a little perch somewhere up under your knees and sing your heart out? That's being exercised about your circumstances. God using our bodies to speak to our souls. And I don't know how many Christians in my life have told me that their sickness was the best sermon they ever heard. God spoke. You get pretty close to us when it gets to our bodies, because we love that body. And when he begins touching our body. He's touching a pretty sensitive spot. But that's the spot he has to touch sometimes to reach us and make us hear, make us listen. I took this out some time ago. I'm going to read it exactly as it is. A godly old lady was asked, suppose the Lord stood here by your bed and told you that he would grant you whatever you requested. Whatever request you made, what would you say? My answer, dear Lord, I don't want to ask. You know better than I do what's good for me. You decide for me. Isn't that it? Lord, you know best whether I should get well or whether I stay here. I'll depend on your decision. I know to do that. These are things God is teaching us in this school. We haven't time to go over to Job 33 where God uses the body and brings it down. I was reading this to somebody the other day. How God deals with the body. He brings man nigh unto the grave. He's emaciated. Why? To bring back his soul from the pit. And at that moment, God says, I have a messenger that will show unto man my life. God is bringing a healthy man down to the very grave. He's lost appetite. He's emaciated. His bones stick out. He's in strong pain. There's these things work with God oftentimes with man to bring back his soul from the grave and his life from perishing by the sword. That's in Job 32. Oh, God has something. That body, he wants it. And it's a very sensitive nerve. And he can teach us lessons through that body. He can put us on our back and we have to look up. There's nowhere else to look. He can teach us lots of lessons there. He can't teach us otherwise. Depends on our reaction as to whether we're going to profit. Are we going to sulk, pout, complain? Or are we going to be exercised and thus reap those wonderful fruits of righteousness? And to them that are exercised thereby. I believe in dealing with this subject of healing. God uses methods. He uses men. Go to a good doctor. I believe God uses men. And many a time they've helped me. And don't go to the extreme and say, well, I'm going to believe God. I'm just going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on believing. Yeah, and you're keeping on dying too. You better use methods. Paul said, Timothy, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Be sure you got stomach trouble. Remember Hezekiah. Remember Hezekiah. He was sick unto death. God, the great physician, said to Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah to take a lump of figs and put upon the carbuncle and he'll recover. Even God using a bunch of figs. Why couldn't God have spoken the word? God using means, methods. And so, don't be afraid when you get sick. Go to a doctor. That's strange. Some Christians say, well, I'm ready to go to heaven. My, it'd be wonderful to go to heaven. I wish the Lord would come. If they get a stomach, they can run and take a pill. They don't want to go to heaven. Oh, no. But these are lessons I hope we'll profit from. I know the Lord can get pretty close to me sometimes when this old frame begins to crank a little bit and creak. He likes to have good health. But if it gets bad, like go to a doctor, take medicine, be exercised about what you're to take. And I think the Lord will lead you to the right doctor and ask God to give the doctor the wisdom, the discernment that he needs so to perform the operation or prescribe medication. Use these things. Even the Lord Jesus knew what it was to get tired. Being wearied with his journey, he sat thus on the well. He knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. He said to the disciples, come ye yourselves apart and rest a while, for many were coming and going. Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while. And if you don't come apart, you really will come apart. Your body will. So be sure you take that rest. and gives protection to your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God can do things through your body. What a marvel. He wants His Holy Spirit to dwell in a healthy body. Don't abuse it. And if you're not a Christian, your soul is lost and sick, and your body's dying too. You're in bad shape. Far better if you have a sick body all your life and have a saved soul to go to heaven. For God will give you a new body on the resurrection morning than to have a healthy body, one bursting with energy and strength, muscles bulging out all over, healthy body, and your soul going to hell. That's a sad thing. God wants to save your soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence. We ask thy blessing upon thy word. We thank thee for it and the light it throws upon our pathway. Father, we thank thee for these truths. May we profit from them. Sometimes when we fail to hear thy voice through the word, thou dost use circumstances. Thou dost pick up the rod and smite our body. We have this warning in thy word. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. May we be concerned about whatever befalls us, that we might lengthen our days and finish our course according to the will of God. We ask it in our Lord Jesus' Christ's name.